joined now by a guy who covers the team for Sports on Earth and, of course, for SB Nation Radio, a member of the Pro Football Writers Association. Our buddy Jason B. Hirschhorn is on the Miami Media School guest line. Jason, what's up, man? Welcome to the show.
Hey, how's it going?
Good, man. So, good start. The dress rehearsal getting underway. Packers, a nice clean 24-9 win. No Aaron Rodgers, which is not a big surprise. How is the team coming along, and how is everyone feeling after that first game?
Well, the second part of that is obviously the bigger question, right? Like, injuries and preventing them and avoiding them is the biggest part of any preseason. The Packers, for the most part, returned to Green Bay or returned to their homes healthy. But they did have some injuries. Demarius Randall, one of the players competing for that starting cornerback spot opposite Devon House, left with a concussion that has been confirmed. They also had injuries to Kentrell Bryce, one of their other defensive backs, and one of their rookie wide receivers, Malachi Dupree, left the game with a really serious-looking neck injury, maybe a head injury. We still don't know. He went to the hospital, but the Packers are still waiting for confirmation on the severity of that her injury.
Hey, Jason, with the offense, I want to talk about the offense side of the ball. Got some new weapons for Aaron Rodgers with the tight end. And now, what can we expect? I mean, this offense was already high-powered as it was. Can it be any better?
Well, in terms of the weaponry, it definitely can be, right? Like, the player you were mentioning is Martellus Bennett, the tight end most recently of the Patriots. He's the most complete tight end the Packers have had during Aaron Rodgers' tenure there. He's not just a very good pass catcher, he's also a very talented blocker. He's going to be able to help them in the run game, especially when they're running off tackle. But there are ways this offense could actually regress, too. They lost T.J. Ling to free agency. He was such a big part of what they do in that blocking scheme. Now they have two guards that are, you know, starting caliber, maybe not guys who can win one-on-one matchups and pass protection as often as the Packers could in the past. When you have two guards that might struggle in that area, it affects what the rest of the offensive line does. You know, their center, Corey Linsley, instead of helping out on one guard, is going to have to find a way to help out on both. They might have to use some of their tackles for help. These are just things that change about the offense that could affect the way they protect Aaron Rodgers.
Now, Jason, for Aaron Rodgers, we saw a very unhappy Aaron Rodgers last year. I mean, at one point, the team was 4-6. There was doubts that they would make the playoffs. They ended up making it for the eighth straight year by winning their last six games to get in the playoffs, and then had a deep, almost improbable run in the playoffs. They beat the Giants in the divisional in the wild card game. They beat the Cowboys in Dallas in the divisional game, and ended up losing to the Falcons in the title game. Is there sort of an uneasiness? Is there bad blood between Aaron Rodgers and head coach Mike McCarthy? Because there seems to be some friction.
No, I wouldn't say that there is much of an issue there, if any. I mean, there were definitely frustrations last year. That's going to happen anytime a team that has legitimate Super Bowl aspirations finds itself so below 500. And at one point, seemingly outside of the playoff hunt. Now, they battled back into it. A team really gets through those issues by December of 2016. Right now, I don't think those issues are there. Obviously, if they go through another dry spell like they did in 2016, those kind of things could come up again. But for right now, I don't think those are issues.
Jason, you were talking about the secondary. I know that was an issue for them last year. They went out. They did some signings. They drafted Kevin King. But now you're saying there are some injuries from last night. Did they do enough in the secondary?
Well, they brought in a lot of new bodies. That's not the same as necessarily saying that they did enough. Devon House, one of their free agent signings, I do think was a very smart move. He's been with that team in the past, played very well in the kind of press coverage that they asked those corners to do. He didn't play last night. He has a hamstring issue, but that's not something that's supposed to affect him come the regular season. The Marius Randall injury, as we discussed, that one's a little more serious. A concussion, you never really know how quickly a player's going to recover from it. Last year, obviously, they had Sam Shields, their top corner, go down in week one with a concussion. He has yet to return to the field. His career might be over. That's not necessarily going to be the case with Demarius Randall, but he's a player who they were depending on to be at least part of that secondary. Now we don't know exactly when he's going to return. And Kevin King, the rookie that you mentioned, had a very, very rough night in pass coverage. He gave up two of the biggest receptions the defense gave up the entire day. He had some nice tackles, and that's certainly something that's going to impress the coaches, but he has to be able to stop those receivers on the other team from getting behind him, and thus far that has been an issue for him.
On the defensive side of the ball, Nick Perry was re-signed by the team. He's pretty much their best pass rusher. 5 years, $60 million. Clay Matthews, he has, I wouldn't say that he's a shell of himself, but clearly the play has been affected. He's been dealing with injuries. Is he the key to that whole thing? Can they win without a healthy Clay Matthews?
Well, the question is even, can they win with a healthy Clay Matthews?
Yeah.
I mean, you mentioned that Matthews has not played to his usual standard of late. That's not just the 2016 season. We really haven't seen the old all-pro level Clay Matthews in several seasons. Now, injuries have played a role in that. He's healthy now. Perhaps that renewed health is going to bring back the old Clay Matthews. But that's something you can just depend on. He's past the age of 30 now. He's a player who relies so much on his athleticism, and he maybe has lost a half step, maybe a full step, since when he entered the league. Doesn't mean he can't play well, but they do need him to be a field tilter, and it's hard to say with any confidence that he's still that kind of guy. That means that Nick Perry is going to have to take that load as the top edge rusher on the team. Last year, he showed a lot of promise in that area, but he's another guy who struggled with health. Even last year, he had a hand injury or a wrist injury. He had to play with a club down the stretch. It's just not the same kind of mentality when you, as opposed to when you're fully healthy. If those two guys are able to avoid injury, and the Packers can find a third edge rusher to really pair with them, then perhaps they'll be fine. But those are a lot of ifs for a defense that really needs those edge rushers to play well.
Jason, I want to flip back over to the offensive side of the ball. I got a fantasy draft coming up, and there's a dark horse that's being talked about, which is Jamal Williams. You know, he's drafted out of BYU. What with this backfield, is it going to be by committee? Or is somebody going to be able to stake claim to be in this backfield?
Well, right now it appears like they're going to split those carries, maybe not evenly, but relatively close to that between Ty Montgomery and Jamal Williams, as you mentioned. However, the Packers have cared more about ball security and pass protection with their running backs than almost anything else since Mike McCarthy has been there.
Yes.
Ty Montgomery, as we discussed during training camp, has struggled in pass protection. We saw him fumble last night in the open field. If those kind of issues keep happening for him, it is going to open the door for someone else to take control of that backfield. And Jamal Williams didn't have a spectacular night. I believe he finished with 14 yards on four carries. But if Jamal Williams holds up in pass protection, he's been doing so in camp, and he doesn't fumble or turn over the ball in the preseason, I do think there's an opportunity for him. I mean, they drafted him in the fourth round. That's considered a very high draft pick in Green Bay considering how these players are used. I think it's definitely possible that Jamal Williams, if Montgomery continues to struggle, could take that starting job at some point during the season.
We're talking to Jason B. Hirschhorn. He writes for SBNation.com covering the Packers. You can follow him on Twitter at @by_JBH. No Aaron Rodgers in the preseason opener, not a big deal. Week two of the preseason, Redskins on the schedule. Are we going to see more Rodgers? What do we see as the preseason rolls on now that week two is coming up for them?
Yeah, you're not going to see Aaron Rodgers in week two. You're going to see him for a brief period in week three. That might also be the only time you see Jordy Nelson. And then the final week of the preseason, as with most teams, they're just not going to play the starters at all. That's just the way the Packers have been the last couple of years. They're so concerned about wasting their star players, their veteran stars in particular, on preseason games, games that do not matter. Especially after the Jordy Nelson ACL tear from a couple of years ago, they just don't even screw around with that. Again, Aaron Rodgers is not going to play until the third week of the preseason, and he's not going to play in that game much at all.
Now, Jason, a lot's being made. What are the expectations for Green Bay this year? Is it Super Bowl or bust, or what's the expectations for Green Bay?
I mean, the expectations since Aaron Rodgers became this kind of quarterback has been the Super Bowl every single year. I mean, they were one game away from reaching it last year. In 2014, they were also, you know, not even a full game. They were about 5 minutes away from reaching the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
So this team definitely has its eyes on Minnesota, where Super Bowl 52 is going to be held. I think that's the only reasonable standard for a team that has an all-time quarterback, one of the best offenses in the league, and a defense that, while struggled last year, could improve significantly in 2017.
Now, Jason, the schedule is always – I always keep an eye on that. Not doing you any favors. You're playing, I think, the best division in football. You're playing the NFC South, so it's the Panthers, the Falcons, the newly renovated Buccaneers, and as well the Saints, and as well the AFC North. So you get the Ravens and the Steelers. Tough sledding to start the season. Home opener to start the season with the Seahawks. Then you go to Atlanta for a rematch of the championship game. play the Bengals, play the Bears, and then you're at Dallas. Huge to get off to a good start.
Yeah, the Packers really do need to, and that matchup, or those matchups are even more problematic when you consider what those teams are good at offensively. You know, the Atlanta Falcons, the Dallas Cowboys, the Cincinnati Bengals all have elite wide receivers and very good passing games. The Packers are still trying to figure out what their secondary at cornerback is going to look like. So if those games happen later in the year, not that they wouldn't be problematic for the Packers potentially, but it definitely doesn't seem as monumental of a task. Having those games in the first 5 weeks with that young secondary that's probably going to rely on a rookie or more to make big contributions, that's a huge ask from that coaching staff.
And just because I'm a degenerate, the next thing I check is this is a team that won 10 games, and that is what the over-under is sitting on, 10. Are we getting to that? Are we going to hit that number, or are we going to go over? What is the expectation in terms of win-losses?
Well, every year that the Packers have had Aaron Rodgers for the vast majority of the season where he hasn't missed more than a game, they've made it to double-digit wins from 2009 and beyond. So that's a long track record. So if Aaron Rodgers is healthy, double-digit wins seems like a pretty good bet. When you look at what this team has around Rodgers, this could be maybe not the best offensive head in Green Bay, but close to it. And if that defense is even just closer to league average than it was last year, especially against the pass, this team really should be able to win 11, maybe 12 games, compete for one of those buys, and again, try to make that run to the Super Bowl. So if I had a guess right now, I would say they're going to hit the over, maybe not by much, but I think they're going to get there.
I love it. That's Jason Hirschhorn. He covers the Packers for SBNation.com. Give him a follow at @by_JBH. Thanks for hanging out with us, Jason.
Anytime, guys.
Thanks, Jason.